Ring the alarm, that's the sound of Daniela. And ring the alarm, that's the sound of Daniela. And breakfast with Bob.
Macho Man! We are live at Huggles on the Rocks. Day 3 of Breakfast with Bob. We are brought to you by EAS, Myoplex, Hoka, One One, Polar, Velo Fix, Normatec, Four Seasons, Hualalai, and MEO Power Breather. Our next guest, the Ironman World Champion, 2 times in a row, the Ironman course record holder. Please give it up for Daniela Reif.
How are you?
Very good, thanks.
We get to chat in these beautiful places all the time. I like it.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We're very lucky. We can go to places which are just spectacular. And yeah, we should be grateful, yeah.
And you've been training for this last part over in Maui. And you enjoy that.
Yeah, I was training in Maui for the last 4 weeks. And yeah, I have to say it was an absolutely beautiful, or it was a hard camp, but it was also a beautiful spot to train.
Was it the first time you guys have trained there?
Yes, it was the first time. It's very spectacular riding. It's hard riding, lots of climbing and... the weather, of course, is pretty hard too, but yes. No, it's a beautiful place. I enjoyed it, and it's great to see next to the big island, also to see another island, yeah, of Hawaii.
So last year, 70.3 was, I think that's the last race, 70.3 Worlds, the last race you didn't win, right? You followed it, right after that, you came here and set the course record, and then this summer have won basically everything. So besides winning 70.3 Worlds this year, along with you also have that Triple Crown is still in play, which you won a couple years ago. So the Triple Crown was 70.3 Worlds Chattanooga, and it was, what was the first race of that?
That was Dubai.
That was Dubai, yeah.
Okay, and then next month in November, Bahrain. So if you win that, you get $1 million.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about that at the moment. It's I'm here to
We're
think
thinking about
this
that. $1 million, hello, and you've done it once already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's of course it's an amazing opportunity, and I try to not get too lazy after this race to keep my form up.
Yes.
But now I'm just really excited for this race, and I wanna go out there and hopefully, yeah, really show a good race here on Saturday.
So the first time you came here was after winning 70.3 Worlds. And I remember Brett Sutton he wanted you to focus on that 70.3 Worlds, and then whatever happened here was sort of gravy. Just come out here and test it. When you first came here, what was it about this island that you enjoyed, that you felt suited you as an athlete?
Well, every year was different, I think. That's, yeah. It's hard to kind of think like it's always going to be the same. So.
Right.
When I came here the first time, of course, it was all about the experience to see the course. I remember I didn't really know the course before the race, and it was, yeah, some very surprising parts where I felt like it was going uphill quite a lot because I was very tired. And then coming here the second time was, of course, it felt easier because you know what to expect. And
you knew the course.
I knew the course, but also I knew I really wanted to win because the first year it was so close, and I found it, yeah, the second year where I won for the first time,
yes,
was the hardest. It was the most pressure, like I felt the most pressure.
You felt pressure for the first win because you came so close the year before.
Well, not from outside, I just from inside. I gave my best in 2014, and then I was coming back here to 2015, and I said, okay, I really, really want to get this win. And I knew I was ready, but you still have to show it, you know.
You never know, right.
Exactly. And that's why the first win, it felt such like a big relief, and also, yeah, like, of course, a huge achievement. And this race definitely is a race where you need strength. And I think that's, to your question, is probably one of why I like this race, because you really need to be strong all day. And the first year I wasn't strong enough, and then the second year I worked on it and I was strong enough.
And then last year, like you said, you felt pressure that first time. Once you've won it, sometimes the pressure, people can either say to themselves, I won it once, I have to win it again, or I won it once, I can relax a little bit. For you, what was it?
Yeah, the second year it was more the pressure from outside saying, okay, can she do it again? Can she prove? And of course, I wanted to prove it that I can win it again. But I felt it. Yeah, it was. I could enjoy it more than the first two. Every time when I came back to this island, I felt more at home because yes. I have so many memories from here. Very good memories from the race, but also from the days after and before the race. And the second year was when I had the second win. It was very special. I could enjoy it maybe even a bit more because I just soaked it in more and tried to enjoy it more.
And did you know that you were on record pace? Did you have a sense of that at all?
No, I didn't. I always just try to go by feel. I mean, you can't really, even if you want, you can't really go faster than you can. You know, you can just push as hard as you can. But if your watch says you're not going fast enough, it's not going to help you. So I had a fantastic race last year. Really everything came together really well, and I could push this bike and actually jump off the bike for the first time not feeling totally dead, which helps for running a marathon. So
especially when you're running a 256 marathon off the bike.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen very often. Most people get to that finish line and that's basically all the energy they have. You were one of those people. You came through to finish, and it was almost like there wasn't enough of a finish shoot. You almost like ran into the photographers. You had so much left. Did you just feel that strong all day?
Yeah, I think, I mean, of course I felt strong, but it was also just that adrenaline I felt in that last 2K.
Yes.
When 5K to go, the assistant coach of my coach told me I'm on record pace, and my coach told me to go for it if I want to or if I still can, and that's where I was just trying to just let it all out, and
right.
And I came to that finish line and having all these spectators just cheering and, you know, clapping, and it was so emotional to make that, to feel that and have that achievement, and then I was just full of adrenaline. I think I just sprinted into the finish.
Yes, you did. So your ITU career, you had a very good ITU career, but when you transitioned and went to Brett Sutton and transitioned to this distance, did you feel you would have this type of success? I know Brett did, but did you feel you'd have this type of success?
No, never. I had 2014, well, if you ask me, Eight years ago, I would have said I would never in my life do an Ironman. I wouldn't know why, and I just thought it was crazy to go for so long. I didn't think that's possible to push for so long, and then I started doing half Ironmans, and
yes.
I was thinking, wow, this is really cool because it really depends on yourself. You're not depending on other people. It's when you prepare well and you go to a race. It's most likely if you do a good job in your preparation, you can, you know, show what you prepared. Where in ITU, it's very tactical. You can really, you have to rely on other people on the bike and on their swim. And so, yeah, for me, I never imagined to have that much success in Ironman. And I just, yeah, over the years started to realize, or in 2014, of course, when I did my first one, where Brett kind of had to push me a little bit. It felt like I'm starting to play in the right sand.
The right sandbox. You're in the right sandbox.
Exactly.
You found
it. It just felt.
Yeah, the distance is right for you.
To, yeah.
So you've been the races you've won besides here. You also have been at Challenge Roth a couple times. And for people who don't know Challenge Roth and the difference between this race and that race, but also just the crowds and the energy at that event, that's pretty special too.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's one of these races you really have to put on your bucket list. It's just the crowd, and also you can really feel the, you know, the whole city and the organization is just behind this race, and it's an experience. It's a, how do you call it?
It's a bucket list type of race.
Yeah, it's a bucket list race, and the atmosphere is just indescribable. Going up Solar Hill when
yes.
you feel like riding in the Tour de France, people almost, you know, pushing you over because they cheer for you so much. It's a bit scary in the first time when you get up there, but it's also very motivating.
So Brett Sutton has been your coach for how long now?
Brett Sutton's been my coach since end of 2013. So I started with him, like 2014 was the first year, and that's where I kind of.
And that's when
started.
That's when, at that point, were you going to Brett to work on this distance, or was it to try to get better at ITU distance?
Well, actually, originally the plan was still to go to Rio.
Yes.
I went to Brett after training myself in end of 2012, 2013. I did a few half Ironmans and I did okay. And I wasn't sure which direction I wanted to go, but I kind of still hoped I could go to Rio, the Olympics. And then I came to Brett and he said, oh, it's pretty clear you're going long. And I was like, what?
That's Brett.
Yeah. And for him, it was never a doubt. Like, he just said, look, you belong, you're strong and you need to do long. And he was right. I feel it's not like I train harder now than I did in my ITU years. I trained very hard there too, and I just feel like I can get more out of it. I can really, in the race, I can really show my strength.
Yes.
Where in ITU, I was running okay. I was running maybe 33 or 34 minutes on 10Ks, but that's not enough, you know.
Right.
They're running 32. So.
Well, and also you're so strong on the bike. The bike sort of gets a little neutered, can't ride as hard in those ITU races. It's more strategy.
Yeah, I like to push the bike, and in ITU I had some really awesome races too. I remember in Hamburg, in the World Cup, I was having a breakaway with Lisa Norden and Emma Moffat, and that was, we had amazing races there too. It's been, for me, it's almost like two careers, you know.
It is.
The ITU, some really amazing races, and I have lots of good memories from there, and also friends who I met through triathlon.
Sure.
And now this is another part of it, and I really enjoy that part too.
Well, and you had Olympic experience.
Yes, two times, yeah.
How special was the Olympics for you?
Yeah,
representing your country is a different thing.
Yeah, it's very different. A world championship is also representing your country, but yeah, the Olympics is just that, you know, that these games and everyone is, it's only every 4 years, of course, so it's much more intense. You get the chance only every fourth year, and yeah, you go there with the whole nation, like together with other sports. So you meet athletes through all, like from all over different sports.
Yes.
Which is it's a great experience, and then the race itself. It was also like I had one amazing race. I think I did more than I even was capable of.
When you were seventh?
Yeah, when I was seventh in Beijing, and then the second time was not so good. That was when I was a bit of struggling.
And that's when Brett saw, when you went to Brett after that, that's when he saw that, you know what, you're in the wrong disciplines.
Yeah, it was a year between where I just experimented a bit, and I did some half Ironmans and non-drafting races, and that's where I realized I started with, like as a junior, I started with non-drafting races, just Olympic distance,
yes.
but shorter. And yeah, I started to realize I really like that. And, you know, riding a TT bike is pretty awesome too.
It is pretty awesome, huh? For this Saturday, you have an opportunity to win three in a row here, which it hasn't been done very often. Just a few legends who've done that. What would it mean to you to join that club? You know, Chrissy Wellington, Paula Newby Fraser, and Natasha Bodman.
Yeah, it's a pretty special club. I don't think the invitation is that easy to get in that club. And I would definitely take it if I can. Of course, it's very special, and I have huge respect of these three. They're legends, and I look up to them and what they achieved. And for me, it's not so much just about joining the club, you know, it's just to show a great race. That's what I focus on, and I'm excited. I see it as another opportunity to just shine, hopefully.
Yes.
And I hope to shine on Saturday. I did all I can in my preparation, and now it's just to race day, which is always going to be a surprise, I guess, for everyone.
So when you win something like the Ironman, you win it twice in a row, how has that changed your world back home in terms of people knowing you, in terms of traveling to places you never thought you were going to go to, award ceremonies you never thought you'd be at? How has your life changed since this Ironman journey?
Yeah, there's definitely been lots of change. A few things are still exactly the same. I still live in my hometown and I still like it there the most. And my friends...
You're still the same friends.
They're still the same friends. And it's of course you also get to see new things and meet new people. One thing which I really appreciate is having so much... the sport being recognized in Switzerland is
yes.
I find it really nice. Like even with Nicola, I think the triathlon is growing in Switzerland as well and is more in the media, which is nice to as an athlete to see that people are interested. If no one cares, it's kind of a bit. Yeah, if you race and no one cares, it's hard.
Who cares,
you know?
Right? Yes.
So it's nice to see that people care, and also, I mean, the feedback from social media, like from the fans, it's very inspiring and motivating. There's lots of people, always watching the races and cheering for me, and if something goes wrong, they're really supportive, and so that means a lot. Yeah.
What race was it where you felt that? You know what? I could be the very best at this. Because obviously you'd had a long ITU career. You'd been seventh in the Olympics, but you had immediate success in the sport. Which event was it? And maybe it was one of those events that Brett sent you to that you didn't even think it made sense for you to go to.
Yeah, there's definitely have been a few races where he sent me to, and I didn't think they make sense. Like the first Ironman, I didn't think that made much sense, but now I can see why he sent me there.
Which one was that?
That was Zurich 2014. So
yes.
It was like a decision of, I think it was Tuesday, and he said, "Yeah, you're gonna race on Sunday."
Wasn't
like,
there?
Oh, really? What am I gonna eat? I don't know. What am I gonna wear? I didn't even know what to wear. I think I'm more like bike shorts and a little top. And then I changed for yes. my running gear, I had no idea.
So basically, yeah. Tuesday of race week, and now were you thinking you were going to do the Olympic distance? Because wasn't there an Olympic distance race that weekend too or something like that?
Yeah, that was, we had a bit of an argument there because I said, I want to do the 5150, and
yes.
that was on Saturday. And he said, no, you should do the Ironman. That was on Sunday. And then we came to agreement that we do both, and so we did both. So.
Wait. Okay, wait a second. Let me make sure. So we're going to do 5150 you end up doing both. So he won. I mean, basically, you had no say.
Yeah, he often wins in these little talk. How do you say disagreements? But yeah, it was a kind of a challenge. I thought it was of course it's a bit crazy, but I know why he did it. He wanted me to be happy, so I did the 5150, and then I saw the Ironman as a. I didn't have any pressure. I saw it as a training day.
Long training day, right? Catered
and,
workout.
See what's going to happen. And that's sometimes a good way to see at it, just to not put too much pressure on yourself, to just go out there and, let your body do what it can,
right.
You train for it. And at that point, I didn't know I was able to do an Ironman. I just kind of, swam along and started to ride. And then after 90K, I was like, okay, now it's another one. I can start to maybe increase the pace a little bit because I've done 90K, I've never done 180.
Did you eat anything during that?
Yeah, I had some crackers and what else? Like walnuts. Yeah, I ate walnuts and crackers. It worked okay. I was fine. So I guess it's all about, experimenting and not taking it too serious is also often a good.
Did you win both races?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Is anybody surprised about that? No, we're not surprised about that.
I was very surprised.
You were surprised.
Yeah.
So then, when did he have you set up with another Ironman fairly soon after that?
Yeah, that was kind of the turning point. I guess, to your question, when you asked when did you think you can actually, be good at this, at that point, I still didn't think I was that good at it. I just thought, look, it's so long. I don't know,
it is long.
How can you push? I did it and I was going well, but I didn't know how you ever gonna be able to push for that 9 hours. And then we did another one and in a month later. And that's where I kind of got into it. I was like, so I really pushed that bike and it was hard. Like then my run wasn't that great. So it was another experiment. And that's where I didn't know if I should go to Kona or not. And that's I think that was the decision. Like when we decided, okay, let's do Kona. I just made it with the points. And So it was all very...
It happened very quickly.
Yeah, it was all coming very quickly. And then I raced Kona the same year and was fighting for the win and fighting with Frini. So that was... Yeah, I think that was probably the craziest year I've ever had.
Yeah, because you do your first Ironman. The same weekend you do the 5150, and then you do another Ironman. And next thing you know, you're... Well, you still had 70.3 Worlds.
Yes, that was in Mont-Tremblant. That was in between. Yeah, I was having a lot of races that then. Like, I think I raced every 2 weeks. Yeah, so it was intense. But I guess it helped me also to increase confidence and to start believing in myself, because I saw I'm actually quite good at this, and I that's where I was like, oh, maybe I should do that, you know.
The funniest thing is, I think the first time we chatted was over at Hugo's there on the show, and you asked, is this where we run?
Yeah, I didn't know much about all of the course. That's true. I stayed out in Vaikoloa.
Yes.
And I just knew I had to go out back and somewhere out back. And I didn't know much else.
You figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out on race day. Yeah.
And had you ever raced Mirinda at that point? Mirinda Carfrae? Was that the first time?
Yeah, that was the first time. Yeah,
first time.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, it was a big race. I knew she's a very strong athlete, and she was the big favorite back then. And I was kind of the Kona rookie, and
yes, you were
crazy girl who comes up and thinks she can do an Ironman. And it was fun, because I just went out and tried hard, and I wish that to every rookie to just have that
just
experience.
Go for it,
because you don't have any pressure, and it's nice. You just go and see what you can do. And I still think I had an amazing race. Even I got second. And
you had an amazing race.
Had a really, how do you say, falling apart for a bit. But it was, I never regretted to just push the bike so hard and just try, because otherwise I would never have known if I could have won.
Right. Well, and you put Mirinda in a position where she had to have a great run. I think she set a course record to run that day to catch you and win by just a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, she showed me back then how you can run on that course, and that definitely inspired me. And that's been my target. Like, I hope to one day also run that fast. And that's...
Go sub 250.
I don't know. I mean, it's always, it always depends on the all the conditions. But it showed me that, three hours is not the limit to break. She ran 248 or 250. Yeah. So, she showed where she showed me the, how do you call it? The target.
The bar.
The bar. Yeah.
She raised the bar. And you knew that you want to get to where that bar is and take it to another level.
Yeah. Well,
which you are. Because you hold the course
record trying.
Now. Daniela, thanks so much for taking so much time. Always a pleasure. And best of luck on Saturday going for that three-peat. It's really great to have you in the sport.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. How about a big round of applause for the amazing Daniela Reif Poncho Man. Take us out.
On fire. Yeah. Daniela's on fire. Woo. Breakfast with Bob.
And Poncho Man. Woo.